Today we start a new sugya, probably the last sugya we're going to do before Pesach. Once we wrap this sugya, probably next week we're going to do all Pesach. We'll do Inyani Pesach Shiurim. It'll be good. It'll be geschmack. Also, public service announcement, next Monday, a week from tomorrow, Charlie Harari is going to be giving a special shiur, talk, lecture, whatever, shmooze, to Lev Shlomo in the morning. So we're very excited about that. Okay, this is, probably the most famous sugi in Sanhedrin, I would say. The sugi of Yehar Gal Yavar is the sugi that begins in Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, going over to Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Well, first things first is, and the packet that I gave you was really originally made up for when I did this sugi in Maseches Ksuvos. So it sort of attacks it from a Ksuvos perspective and then backs into the Sanhedrin perspective. The two sugis need to be read side by side a little bit. And I'm not going to go in the exact order of the packet. I'll tell you what to focus on in Seder tomorrow as we finish up Shir today. But first, let's just get the Gemara very clear in terms of what the Yesodos that the Gemara offers are. The Gemara on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The famous comment, that any of the Averis in the Torah, if they tell you to violate or else you will get killed, you should violate it and don't get killed. With three exceptions, a topic for another shir that we're going to have to discuss at some point is this list an exhaustive list? Is this list entirely, is that everything? Or are there maybe more things that are Yahari Val Yava? For instance, we're going to have to discuss, the Gemara says in Masechah Sota and Daf Yud, that Mutav L'Adam that is better for a person to throw themselves into a furnace than to embarrass somebody publicly. That sounds a heck of a lot like Yahareg Va'al Yavor. So does that become Yahareg Va'al Yavor? It's more about Kamadav Samach. That seems to imply, and elsewhere, it seems to imply that maybe stealing in certain situations would be Yahareg Va'al Yavor. So we have to discuss, is this an exhaustive list? But before we discuss whether it's an exhaustive list, which again, we're probably not going to get to until after Pesach, first we need to discuss the list itself. Is this list entirely true according to everybody? Just like we had in the sugya of Einon Shemin Adin, after saying 1,000 times Einon Shemin Adin, we pointed out that there are like 10 Amorayim that don't hold of Einon Shemin Adin, all three Shittas, Nine Gimel and Beis, and you have throughout Shas and Makkos and other places where there is simply Shittas that don't hold of Einon Shemin Adin. But so over here also, this is Yadua, that these are three exceptions, but not so fast. V'hatanya, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, minayin she'mamar lo alodim avod avod zchav v'al tareg, minayin she'ya'avod v'al yehareg. Rabbi Shmuel holds, no, avod zar doesn't belong on the list. And that's, in fact, the Gemara's maskana. The Gemara says, yeah, inu damak Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, v'avta Hashem elkach, v'chol v'avach, v'chol nafsh, v'chol modecha. So to teach you that you have to give up your life. That's Rabbi Lazar's shita. But Rabbi Shmuel still disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel would hold that you would not have to give up your life, that it's better to violate Avodah Zarah than to lose your life. That is Rabbi Shmuel's Shita. So first Yesod we get is that there are three Yahari Val Yavars. Second Yesod is not everybody agrees to that. Rabbi Shmuel thinks Avodah Zarah doesn't belong on the list. Now how do we know each one is in fact a Yahari Val Yavar? How do we know each one in fact fits on this list? So the Gemara goes through the sources. I'm not going to read the Gemara inside, but essentially it turns out, I know that Avodah Zarah is Yahareg Val Yavar from where? You saw the Gemara based on what? Based on a pasuk. What's the pasuk? V'avta Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. Your avas Hashem has to be with kol nafshecha. It has to be with your entire soul, meaning even your life. So I know that Avodah Zarah is Yahareg Val Yavar. Again, if you assume not like Rabbi Shmuel, that Avodah Zarah is Yahareg Val Yavar based on a pasuk b'chol nafshecha. How do I know Gili Arayos is Yahareg Val Yavar? So that we learn through a hekesh, because the pasuk says that that ki kasher yakum mishal rei v'ratzach nefesh kein adavar zeh, in the context of a girl getting raped, of Arayos, Gili Arayos, a girl getting raped, nara murasa, a girl who's married, who's half married, getting raped. The pasuk says it's like murder. So we say, what do you mean it's like murder? Well, it's like murder in the following way. Just like murder is Yaharik Val Yavar, so to a girl getting raped is Yaharik Val Yavar. Now, we learn halachos of murder from Naram Rasa also, that just like Naram Rasa nitan latzilu b'nafsho, so to murder is nitan latzilu b'nafsho, but for the purposes of our sugya, we're more interested in the limud in the other direction. What do we learn about Naram Rasa from murder? That just like a case of Ritzicha, a case of murder is Yaharik Val Yavar, so too Naram Rasa is Yaharik Val Yavar, which then leaves only one more question. How do I know that Ritzicha is actually Yaharik Val Yavar? It doesn't say that anywhere either. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's a Svara. That's a Pashra Svara. Mi Yemar Didama Didach Sumak Tvei Dilma Damadu Hu Gavra Sumak Tvei. How do you know whose blood is redder? Maybe your blood isn't any redder than that guy's blood. Maybe that guy's blood is redder than your blood. So of course you have to let yourself get killed rather than to kill him. That is the Svara. So the way it shakes out in the end, Avodah Zarah being Yaharik Val Yavar is a Pasuk, and ironically the one that has the strongest source, the one that's a Pasuk, is actually subject to Machlokes. Gilei Arayos being Yaharik Val Yavar is learned from Ritzicha. Ritzicha being Yaharik Val Yavar is a Svara. Ma'echaz is Damidach Sumak Tvei. Now, very interesting, Rashi on the Svara of Ma'echaz. If you look at Rashi, Svarahu, Shelo Tidche Nefesh Chavero, Di'ika Tarti, Ibud Neshama, Va'avera. So, don't push off your friend's life, which would involve two evils. What are the two evils in pushing off your friend's life and killing your friend? Number one, end of the day, a Jewish life will be lost. And number two, if you killed him, you did a Maisa Aveira. So those are two evils. As opposed to Mipnei Nafsho, your own life, if you lose your own life, Deleka El Chada, there's only one evil. What's that? Ibud Neshama. It would be your own loss of, loss of a Jewish life. But there is no doing of an Aveira. Vuhu Lo Yavar. You will have not violated any Averah. So Rashi says, why is it that you're allowed to violate all the Averahs in the Torah because of V'chai Behem? That you're allowed to save your life and violate all the Averahs in the Torah other than these three? It's because Mishum Diyakara Be'en of Neshama Shal Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu values a Jewish life more than he values Shabbos. He values the Jewish life more than he values kashrus. He values the Jewish life more than he values shatnis. Any of the 610 out of 613 mitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu values a Jewish life more than all of them. V'hacha gabi rotzeach, but over here, that can't come into the cheshbon, because over here, what's the choice? Mimanoshach, a Jewish life is going to be lost. So you can't start questioning, what does God value more? No, God's going to lose over here the Jewish life, right? Some of the Jewish life is going to lose, is going to be lost. So therefore, you can't start cheshbening. What does God care about more? Does he care about my isritzicha more or Jewish life? No, the Jewish life is going to be lost either way. So then you might as well not do an Aveira. You might as well not do Ritzicha. Kiven desof, yiki yibin neshama, lami heimutu la'avor, mi yodea, shenafshu chaviva liyotru yoser, mi nefesh chavero. Who's to tell you that your life is more valuable to your Creator than your friend's life? Hilkach, dvar hamakom lo nitan litchos. The word of God cannot be pushed off. The reason I found this Rashi interesting is that Rashi makes it like a mathematical equation. The Svara is like an equation. Right? The Svara is, it's a life versus a life that cancels each other out. And then on one side you have an Aveira versus the other side not having a Maisa Aveira. Right? That you'd rather not do an Aveira. So it's not simply be passive because you don't know what God prefers. Right? It's the fact that we assume God likes a Jewish life more than he does any of the mitzvos in the Torah, including Ritzicha, but over here, at the end of the day, the Jewish life is going to be lost anyway. Meaning, if it were just purely a svara of who says your blood is redder, well, if that were it, then who says his blood is redder? Meaning, if you were to take the Gemara at face value, who says my blood is redder, therefore I should get killed? Well, who says his blood is redder? Maybe I should kill him. I mean, the svara itself doesn't really make that much sense. The Gemara never says, therefore, shevi al taseh, don't do anything. The Gemara just says, it's a svara, you don't know whose blood is redder. So Rashi has to add in a little bit to make this svara work. What do you mean? So if I don't know whose blood is redder, maybe I should save my own life. V'chayachicha imach, I'll fulfill that mitzvah. of chai behem, rather, living by the Torah, not dying by the Torah. Who says that I should die just because his blood might be redder? My blood might be redder too. So that's what Rashi has to make it make sense. So he makes it as an equation, that the loss of life is something that's going to happen, it's going to be sustained anyway, so then you avoid doing an Avera. It doesn't fit the words so much, it doesn't fit the words of the Gemara, because it's not really about whose life is more valuable, right? It's not an issue of whose life is more valuable, it's that, any life, valuable or not, is more valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than 610 mitzvos in the Torah, right? So Rashi's interpretation is necessary, but at the same time, doesn't seem to really fit the Gemara. Okay, so again, Nekuda number one, there are three Ahar Gval Yavars, where each one is derived from is critical. Fine. Nekuda number two, at the bottom of the page, four last lines. Kiyas Rabbi Dimi Yom Rabbi Yochanan Lashonu Ela, Shalom B'Shas Kzeir Samalchus. B'Shas Kzeir Samalchus, Afil Mitzvah Kala, Yahar Gval Yavar. That when you're in a situation where there's gzeiros hamalchus, then even the smallest avera becomes yaharig val yavar. Even if they tell you you got to wear shatnis, it's yaharig val yavar. We'll see that it'll be even a lesser avera than that. Kiyas ravnam Rabbi Yochanan filu shelo b'shas gzeiros hamalchus lo el b'tzina abul farhesya filu mitzvah kal yaharig val yavar. Another exception. Again, sometimes even the other 610 could also be yaharig val yavar. The other 99%. Of the mitzvahs in the Torah can also be Yahar Gval Yavar. When? If they are either B'Shas Gzeiros HaMalchus or B'Farhesya. Then the other 610 also become Yahar Gval Yavar. The uniqueness of the big three is that even when it's not a Gzeiros HaMalchus and it's private, still they are Yahar Gval Yavar. That's what the Gemara seems to say. So the Gemara says, what is a mitzvah kala? Even the style of shoelaces that Jews wear. That anytime we wear something, the Goyim wear a certain type of clothing, and we wear a different type of clothing, even that's called mitzvah kala, but that would be a harig val yavar if it were done publicly, or if it were done b'shas gzeiros hamalchus. What is it about the shoes, about the shoe straps? Like, does it really matter what kind of shoe straps a person wears? So Rashi writes over here, Ark Sud Masana on the top, Srochanal, Shem Derchov de Chav Mlikshur Kach, Viderch Yisrael Binyan Acher. If Goyim tie one way and we tie a different way, Kagon Shiesh Sad Yahadus Bedover. So Rashi says that there has to be something uniquely Jewish about the way we tie. It can't just be stam, Jews like that style, like when you wear the borsalino, you tilt it a little bit or whatever, that it's just the style that for whatever reason Jews like, but the rest of the world hasn't caught on yet to how stylish it is. It has to be something that has something uniquely Jewish about it. V'derech Yisrael Lios, here's the key word, tsnuin. The derech of Jews is to be tsnuin, so meaning, the style of dress, the style of the shoes, must be a more tsanua style than the style of the goyim. I think that Rashi is not just giving that as an example. I think Rashi is being very precise over here. Because there is a halacha called chukasakum. You're not allowed to do as the goyim do. Now, how do we define which activities are prohibited based on chukasakum? For instance, one of my older talmidim, is dating a girl pretty seriously, and she was, I don't know how serious, but he's dating a girl, and she had the following shayla. She was serving as an intern. I don't know if I told you guys the shayla. She was serving as a teaching intern, like an assistant teacher. I did tell it to you? Yeah? And last Friday was her last day of her internship, and she was told by the school, or by the teacher that she was working under, that everybody in the class, all the children and teachers, have to wear green last Friday in honor of St. Patrick's Day, just like we did today in DRS in honor of whatever. So in honor of St. Patrick's Day, they had to all wear green. So Rashaila, was I allowed to wear green in honor of St. Patrick's Day? That's what they told me. After the other thing she was worried about, and this is the part I probably told you about, was she said that the teacher in the school hugs all the children goodbye at the end of the week. And this was her last day. They didn't normally hug the assistant teacher, but on the last day, all the kids are going to want to hug her also. So the 10-year-old boys and girls. So can she hug the 10-year-old boys, give them a goodbye hug, because they're all going to be very insulted if she doesn't hug them. So those were the two shailas that she had. Very good shailas, very interesting shailas. But in terms of the green one, so that's chukas akum. So how do we define chukas akum? So the Ramah in Yeridah and some kufayin ches writes that in order for something to be chukas akum, it has to be one of two things: either a minhag that the goyim do that we do not know its source, and because, meaning it doesn't have any tam, there's no reason for it, and because there's no reason for it, we have to suspect that it might be based in avodah zarah, and therefore it's problematic, or a davar shel pritzus, anything that they do, a style of dress, or anything that they do that involves a certain sense of pritzus. But, for instance, the Rama says, let's say it's neither, there is a reason for it, and it's not pritzus. For instance, a doctor working in a hospital wearing a white coat. It's important to be able to identify who the doctors are and who the orderlies are, because if you're in trouble, you may want to call a doctor. So that makes sense that the doctor should look different. So he says that is not chukas akum. We know where it comes from. It's not something that's in botam. It has very good reason for it. So it's not, and it's not pritzus, so it's not chukas akum. But that's part of the definition of chukas akum, is something that's pritzus versus tzinius. So I think Rashi is being very specific over here when he says tzinuim. He says that dafka, because Klal Yisrael's tzinuim are tzinuim, therefore, when the style of the goyim is b'derech pritzus, so that becomes chukas akum. So that would be a mitzvah kala, that you would have to be yaharig val yavar. In that case, in terms of the wearing green, so you have to really, I asked Google, you know, what the source of wearing green is. You get like 15 different answers, what the source of wearing green is. One most suggests that the wearing green is really more of an American thing than it is an Irish thing. That Irish people in America are very into green representing Ireland. Irish people in Ireland, apparently the first 100 years that St. Patrick's Day was celebrated in Ireland, St. Patrick was the patron saint of Ireland. That's why it's an Irish holiday. It's a holiday for. So the first 100 years or so that St. Patrick's Day was actually celebrated, they wore blue. They didn't wear green. So it's unclear where green comes from. Some say it's because the green in the Irish flag represents the Catholics, and the orange represents the Protestants, and the white represents the peace between them, and the alcohol represents, I'm not sure what, but that somehow represents something. But probably it's just more secular in nature nowadays than it is religious, and probably it's mutter to have worn green that day. So it would be like Judah wearing green today, you know, like an MTA guy wear green and DRS Kasha. Okay, so last year you came with an MTA hat, right? Did you? What? Yeah, okay. all right. So that's I think what Rashi means over here. Gemara goes on to define the term Farhesia, and the Gemara says Farhesia is defined as 10 Jews. It has to be in front of 10 Jews. Now that's also an interesting comment. How do we define Farhesia in different contexts? Meaning, is there a difference between Farhesia versus B'makom Rabim? Or, right, meaning whenever something is a din that you need a rabbim there. So does rabbim always mean farhesia? Does it always mean eda? It always means 10 people? Okay, something to discuss. Rashi ben Gittin sounds like 3 people is a rabbim. So maybe for different halachas, different contexts, it means different things. But then the Gemara moves on to the very famous Kasha, where the Gemara says, Vaha Esther farhesia avoi. What about Esther? Esther had violated this avera of sleeping with Achashverosh. Bifar Hesia, the whole world knew she was going in the palace to sleep with him. So Rabbaye, Esther Karka Olam Haisa. So Rabbaye says, no, Esther's different because Esther was Karka Olam. And Rava says, no, Esther was different because the guy was doing it for Hana'as Atzmo. He was doing it for his own pleasure, his own benefit, and not to try to get us to violate anything. And therefore, that would no longer be Yaharik Val Yavar. It would no longer be Yehareg Val Yavar. And then the final thing the Gemara says is that not only are these 3 Averos Yehareg Val Yavar, and not only are the other 610, if done Bifar Hesi or B'Shas Gzeiros HaMalchus, do they become Yehareg Val Yavar, But the three Yahrig Valyavars, any Abizrayu of them is also Yahrig Valyavar. Any offshoot of them is also Yahrig Valyavar. That's what the Gemara tells the story of the fellow who was lovesick, and he had to sleep with this woman in order to get better, to save his life. And Chazal said, no, you can't do that. And then he just needed to see her, Aruma. And they said, no, you can't do that either. He just wanted to speak to her, Me'achor Yageder. No, you can't do that either. You have to die rather than do that. All these things, because even in Abizrayu is Yaharik Valyavar. Fine, that is the sugyo in the Gemara. Now, several issues to raise. Trying to think the best way to. All right, we'll start, I guess, with the Rivash, because it seems that that's what you were doing this morning. Yeah, Rivash. Yeah. What?
Oh, the Rambam
also. Okay. Oh, actually, the Rambam first. Yeah, the Rambam is actually. Let's do the Rambam first. Take a look at the Rambam. Yisodei Torah Perikei Halacha Gimel says the Rambam. B'kol advarim ha'elu shelo b'shas ha'gzera. Aval b'shas ha'gzera v'hu sheyamud melech rasha k'nevucha netzer v'chaverav v'yigzar gzera al Yisrael levatel dasam o mitzvah min ha'mitzvos yaharig val yavar afilu al achas mishar mitzvos beinenas b'toch ha'sara beinenas b'nelevin of the chavim. Meaning, regardless of whether it's b'farhesi or not, gzeras ha'malchus is its own halacha, that if something becomes yaharig val yavar when there is gzeras ha'malchus. But the Ram defines gzeras ha'malchus doesn't just mean that the government passes a law that requires us to violate a halacha. Gzeras ha'malchus means that they're dafka doing it levatel dasam, in order for us to throw away our religion. I mean, there are a lot of times that a government may pass a law that that has nothing to do with our religion, and but it turns out that it's a problem for our religion. For instance, can you think of examples? I was just reading in Rabbi Lau's book, if you haven't read it yet, very, very good book to read, Chief Rabbi Lau. He said that he had a meeting, a 3-hour meeting with Fidel Castro a while back, and he asked Castro to allow for shechted meat to be brought into Cuba. And he said, no, I can't allow any meat to be brought into Cuba, because people are starving here. If I start making exceptions for religious groups, then it's going to cause anti-Semitism like crazy. He said, I don't want anti-Semitism in Cuba. I'd rather just keep things the way they are. But if I bring in meat, well, people are starving, they don't have 2 pennies to rub together, and the Jews are getting meat, slaughtered meat coming in, so that would be very terrible. It would lead to terrible jealousy and anti-Semitism. So he didn't make this anti-Shechita rule because of anti-Semitism. He was doing it because he just didn't want to be bothered by it. He wasn't interested in whatever it would involve. Sometimes the rules aren't dafka lahavir al dasam. Nebuchadnezzar, the chaverav, were being gozer lahavir dasam. So gzeras ha'malchus has to be a gzera where it's targeted toward breaking down religious observance. That's the definition of gzeras ha'malchus. It's interesting. The Gemara, when it asked about Esther, right, that shouldn't Esther have been yaharig val yavar, the Gemara could have asked any number of questions, and the Rishonim obviously deal with this, and we're going to deal with it as well. The Gemara could have asked any number of questions. For instance, the Gemara, what is yaharig val yavar? Yaharig val yavar is either one of the big three, or Farhesia, or Gzeres Malchus. L'chora, Esther was all three of those things. It was Gilei Raos, she was married to Mordechai. It was Farhesia, and it was Gzeres Malchus, right? And yet, what does the Gemara ask? Esther, Farhesiavai. Why wasn't the Gemara asking about the other two? The fact that it was Gzeres Malchus, the fact that it was Gilei Raos. Both of those things are also critical. Why is it only focused on Esther, Farhesiavai? So that's also something that we need to work with. According to the Rambam's definition, was it Gzeres Malchus? Was it Gzeres Malchus according to the Rambam's definition? No, what's Rambam's definition of Gzeres Malchus?
It's like
right, trying to uproot religion. Is that Ahasuerus' plan when he was bringing all the young girls in? No, he's probably just trying to sleep with as many young girls as he can, and indulging his taivos, and that's it. Finding a wife, whatever, under the guise of finding a wife. But nothing to do with Judaism per se. He didn't care about the Jews, didn't seem at that time. He may have been an anti-Semite, but it doesn't seem that this, it not only may have been, according to the Gemara, he was a terrible anti-Semite. He was every bit the anti-Semite that Haman was. Right? We should be clapping by Achashverosh, according to the Gemara, the same way we clap at Haman. I'm told in one of the Hasidic sects, you heard about this? There's a machlokas, there's a machlokas who the real Rebbe is, and one of the potential Rebbe's name is Mordechai. So the other sect, every time they named Mordechai in the Megillah, they clapped. It's crazy. Yeah, it's like the Satmars clap every time they say Medina in the Megillah. So Achashverosh was a terrible anti-Semite, but this wasn't a gzeira lahavir al dasam. That wasn't the purpose of this gzeira. So l'chora, according to the Rambam's definition, this wouldn't fit the definition of Yaharig Val Yavar. So that's why the Gemara only asks about for Hesia. We still need to deal with why didn't the Gemara ask Gilui Arayos, because it certainly was, or it seems to certainly have been, Gilui Arayos. Okay, that's going to be several days in Tosos. We have Tosos, a major Tosos over here, and a major Tosos in Mesechus Ksuvos. They say essentially the same thing with a few more details over here. This is a bit of a longer Tosos. So Bez Hashem, we'll get to Tosos. But if you haven't seen it yet, definitely focus on Tosos tomorrow. Tosdimer Maskel Ver Esther Ver Hesiavai. Okay, that's critical. The parallel sugya in Ksuvis, in order to get things rolling, at least with the with this sugya, is the Gemara tells us that the Mishnah says at the very beginning of Ksuvis that a Besula Nisa Sliyom Arvi, that a Besula gets married on Wednesdays, so that she could have Bia Wednesday night, and the Beis Din is open on Thursdays. If the husband has a tainus pesulim, he'll be able to come to the Beis Din on Thursday. To me, it's some of the Gemara elsewhere says in Ksuvis that there was one of the Tanaim, I think, where the husband came and had a tainus pesulim, and the Tana believed him, but then gave him Malkus. He said, for you to even know what a tainus pesulim, you know, to know that there's an issue, it means that you're a little too experienced in these matters, that you know too much. That anyone would know, to me, is shocking. I mean, it's couples don't even know, they don't know anything. If Bnei Torah get married, they have no idea. They have no idea what's a besula, what's not a besula, what the, you know, how it feels different. They have no clue. So that's a little bit surprising, that they're the whole, you know, this whole concept. But anyway, in the context of that sugya, the Gemara tells us that at some point the Malchus made a gezeira that any girl who gets married, tibal lahegman tchila, that a girl who gets married on Wednesday, whatever, would have to have bia with the hegman first. She would have to have bia with the local governor first. So the Gemara said that they had to uproot the gezeira because the girls were going to risk their lives. They would risk their lives rather than sleep with these guys. So I asked the Gemara, what do you mean risk their lives? Just teach them that it's okay. Tell the girls, don't risk your lives. It's okay, you could sleep with this guy. He's raping you. You're not interested in it. So since it's ones, since he's raping you, so therefore it's mutter. It's not going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, yeah, you could tell them all you want that ones shari, but there are tsnuos. And the tsnuos are going to be so tsnua that even knowing that it's mutter because they're being raped, they're still gonna want to give their lives rather than sleep with this guy. And then they can get killed. So at the end of the day, yeah, they'll die a martyr's death. I mean, they can get killed, but they will not have slept with the guy, but they're going to end up dead. And then you're not going to, so it's not going to help anybody. So that's why we couldn't just tell them that it's okay because you're being raped. So that's why Tosfos in Ksuvos deals with the question, what do you mean, religious to Huda on Ashari? Tell them that it's okay because they're being raped. It's not okay when they're being raped. It's still Gilui Arayos, isn't it? When a girl's being raped, it's still a problem of Gilui Arayos. So that's the major kasha that Tosfos deals with in Mesechus Ksuvos. But once we're discussing that issue, forget about that it's not okay because it's Gilui Arayos. It's not okay for another reason. If this was a decree that the government made, so then it's Gzeres Malchus. It's Yarek Val Yavar because of that. So again, just like by Esther, we have the Kasha, that it's Yarek Val Yavar because it's Farhesia, and because it's Gzeres Malchus, and because it's Gilei Arayos. So over here also, we don't have the Farhesia maybe, But we have it should not be okay. It should be Yaharig Val Yaver because it's both Gilei Arayos and Gzeiros Malchus. So why is it that we assume otherwise? That we don't assume that it's Yaharig Val Yaver based on the Gzeiros Malchus. We should let these girls get killed. It's Yaharig Val Yaver. So says the Rivash in the Tshuva, Shinayim Gimel, Tchila Bereish Ksuvis. You got me the original. Only one paragraph I gave you, right? Yeah. So Tchila Bereish Ksuvis, Gabi Belichlu Donas Shari, Mishra Shari, Donas Bishol Mishra Shari, Kasav Ramban Zal, Ika Dekashalei, Vadinahu Ditarig Val Tavar, Dafar Has Yehu, Vishas Hashmad. The din is, it should have been Yaharig Val Yavar, because this is, so he says it's Farhesia also. It's Farhesia, it's Shmad, which means Gzeres Malchus. V'ikalameimer la'anos Atzman ha'yev, afil b'shas ha'shmad, tavar v'al te'arig. So he says, no, maybe Anos Atzman answers that question. Where do we get this concept of Anos Atzman? That's our sugi in Sanhedrin, right? The Gemara asked about Esther being Farhesia, and there were two answers. Abaye said karka olam. Rava, who we normally paskin like, said that heter is Hanas Atzmo. So just like Hanas Atzmo was a good enough answer for the problem of Farhesia, this stomach's a good enough answer for the problem of Shas HaShmad. Why is it a good enough answer for the problem of Shas HaShmad? So probably like the Rambam says, because Shas HaShmad is only an issue when the decree is dafka meant to attack Judaism. But if the decree is meant to just give himself pleasure, so that's what the Rambam's saying. That's what the Gemara's saying. That's what Rava holds. That it's not meant to attack Judaism. It's just to give this guy some pleasure. So then it would not be a problem of Shas HaShmad. It's amazing that Rava held that it's not a problem of Farhesia either. That's enough to answer Farhesia. It makes a lot more sense the way the Rambam implies that it doesn't answer that it solves the problem of Shas HaShmad. That Shmad means that they're trying to get you to violate your religion, so everything becomes critical. Right? Everything becomes a core value of the religion. Why should Farhesia everything all of a sudden become a core value? Not sure. Davade Anos Atzman himit lo gazri taharig v'gazri tibayil. The raya that it was Anos Atzman in that gzera is they never made a gzera to kill them. They made a gzera to sleep with them. Alma inu gufayil Anos Atzman miskavn v'afilu b'shas hashmad shari adkan. That's what the Ramban says. That because it was they were doing it Lanas Atzman, therefore even Shas HaShmad is not a problem. V'kashlan ali al hahid la'el kadahavasalka daitach shagzerois b'sul nises b'rivi tehareg makshinan nagu liakri legamri. The Gemara, you have to know the Gemara in Ksuvis to understand this kasha. The Gemara in Ksuvis says that when the onus started to happen, that the Hegmon started to do what they were doing, so Nahagu, they had the Minhag to get married earlier in the week instead, so that they would avoid the Hegmon. So the Gemara asks, Nahagu? Is a Minhag? They should, well, first the Gemara thought that the Gzera was not to be bowled the Hegmon, the Gzera was that they would get killed. Anyone gets married on Wednesday gets killed. So the Gemara says, Nahagu? They should totally uproot the Gzera. They should get rid of the gzera entirely. The takana, the psul nisis the omer vi. They should just drop it. Forget about psul nisis the omer vi. Women are going to get killed. Move it to a different day. Now in that case, they were certainly trying to get them to violate the religion, right? Meaning, if there's a rule that Jewish girls have to get married on Wednesday, and the havmin of that gemara is that Jewish girls get married on Wednesday and they made a gezeira, anyone who gets married Wednesday gets killed, why would they do that? There's no hana'a in killing people. They're doing that, obviously, l'havir al-dasa. They just want us to violate our religion. And yet, the Gemara says, okay, well then it's pashut, they should move it to a different day. Why is it pashut, you should move it to a different day? You know what I would say? It's Yaharig Val Yavar. It's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Keep it on that day, keep doing what you were doing, and get killed. Yaharig Val Yavar. If it's Gzeres HaShmad, so the halacha is Yaharig Val Yavar. Isn't it a violation of the halacha to get married a different day? Why are we allowed to violate that halacha?
What's the violation?
Because Chazal made a takana that you get married on Wednesdays. So that became, it's like the shoelaces. Right? It's something that we do for religious reasons, and they made a gzeira that they're going to kill us if we do it, which means it's a gzeira shmad. So we should stick by our guns and say that no, we're going to keep this halacha. So says the Rivashi Yisod. Vinirali, dahasim nami hanashim sha'alein nigzra gzeira shayich lemeimer bahu tarag val tavar. Any woman who had this gezera decreed against them, yeah, they had a din of yaharag val yavar. They could not just get married a different day. They had to take it and get killed. Avul rabbanon shlo nigzra gezera aleihem yesh lahem lakor hatakana kadei shaloi tavona lidei sakana. How do you understand that? That's the key line. That here's the chilek. Chilek is between the girls and the rabbis. Who is the gzeira made against? The girls. They're going to die, right? The girls were supposed to get killed. Again, we're assuming right now, like the Havamina, that the gzeira was they should get killed. Gzeira was made against the girls. The rabbis made the din that put the girls in a predicament where the gzeira is that if they follow the din of the rabbis, they're going to get killed. For the girls to say, we're just going to get married a different day. No, they can't do that. That would be a violation of a din. Bishasa shmad, siyahar gval yavar. They can't do that. But for the rabbanan to say, maybe we should make a little bit of a different din. Girls are getting killed. That's not a problem of yahar gval yavar. Because it wasn't the rabbanan's lives that are being threatened. Ve'enav chinami shim nigzar al chacham shiakra takana v'im lo yahargu. Let's say it would have been a little different. Let's say the government would have said, rabbis, you have to change this law. If you don't change this law, we're going to kill all these girls. It was against the rabbis. Or we're going to kill you if you don't change this law. So then the halacha is the rabbis, they can't, you know, I think the conservative movement does that. They meet every year and they decide what halachas to keep and not to keep. Right, so no, we can't do that. We can't go changing laws because of pressure, even a threat to a life. So that's the yisod, that it's only the person whose life is threatened that has the din of yaharig val yavar. The person whose life is not being threatened can violate the din to save the lives of others. For them, it's not yaharig val yavar. V'chimakshi nagu le'akul legamri. And when the Gemara asks, what do you mean nagu? They should uproot it entirely. Mitarti parach tekimen shayu b'davar sakana hayil chacham shlo nigzra le'im agzer l'akor takanasam. Says when the Gemara says they were threatening their lives, right? So some were noheg to get married a different day. Noheg? What do you mean noheg? Uproot the takana entirely. What was the nekuda of the Gemara's question? So the way we always understand the Gemara's question is, well, the Rabbanan should have just said, forget about Wednesdays. Don't get married on Wednesdays anymore. That's how we understand the question. He says that's half the question. Question is really a double question. From the Rabbanan's perspective, there was no gzeira against them. And therefore it's posh that they should change the din. That's the half we understood. But not only that. So long as the Rabbanan don't change the din, so long as the din is still intact, they get married on Wednesday, so what's the halacha if you're a girl? The halacha is you have to get killed. So how could they have been nohagu? How could there have ever developed a minhag to get married earlier? There never should have been such a minhag. They shouldn't have been allowed to do that. Nohagu sounds like, yeah, it was a minhag, it was okay. It's not okay. They can't get married earlier. So it's a double kasha. It's kasha number one. Nohagu? They were knowing to go against the din with threat to their lives, b'shas hashman, it's yaharig val yavar. And question number two, legamri ne'akrei, the rabbanon should have uprooted this gezeira entirely. So it's two kashas that the Gemara is really asking over there in Maseches Ksuvos. Okay, that's the chiddush of the Rivash, his own unique way of reading that those few lines of Ksuvos. I want you to focus on tomorrow is this Tosos for Esther for Hesiahaver, and in the outline where you're looking for Mar Makomos is starting from I guess Roman numeral 3 is going to be, we're going to work a little backwards, Roman numeral 3, this is the second question, so Tosos, Dibra, Maslov, Lidrish, Lahu, all that stuff, that's Yeah, so you could see the Tos in Ksuvah, see the Tos here, they say the same thing anyway, and we'll work from there. But Roman numeral 3, those Marmakamos are what I'm most interested in. Okay? All right, so we'll call it a day.